on your 1 to 10, like, anger meter, where are you, just so I can level set as we head into this? Because I'm at Hulk smash. Hello, everyone. This is JVL here with my best friend, Sarah Longwell, publisher of The Bulwark. Sarah, we're back together again.
It's so good. We should never be apart.
We should never be apart. We're going to be together so much in just a few weeks.
Oh, for the book tour. Hey, oh, wait, real quick. I got the physical books yesterday.
I know. Priya sent me pictures of them. You got a whole box of books. You got books.
Did you see? So Tim was in the office, and so he immediately went to the acknowledgments. Yeah. And he was so mad you were before him. Because I just want you to know, seen it yet, but you, there's my wife and kids, Tim, and in between, there's JVL.
Aw, thank you. I can't wait.
But he's mad because in the politics of acknowledgments, I was after his husband. So he feels like he did not get reciprocity. But he also told me not to write the book. So I feel like he doesn't get to be second.
Yeah, I think that knocks you down one slot. Somebody who tells you not to do the book in the acknowledgments for the book, that's an automatic one slot deduction.
I think that's right. For you, my friend, though, you and I are going to be together at 92nd Street Y on September 8th, which is the day the book launches. I've got some surprises for you. They moved us to a bigger room because a bigger auditorium because we sold out the first one. So now we're in a really big one and there's still availability in the balcony.
I know. And I'm angry about that.
Yeah.
So I'd like to yell at people. Come see us in New York City. I want a fully sold out room. I don't want any seats up in the balcony left. Go to thebulwark.com/events. Get tickets for me and Sarah in New York. Believe me, there are enough people in the tri-state area to come in and sell this out. Come hang with it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, just as a quick note, we just went on sale. So Seattle sold out. Sorry, San Francisco is sold out. I think the Cambridge one with Bill that I'm doing right after yours is sold out. But they just opened up Chicago and L.A. And so for people who are in Chicago and L.A., come to those.
Also, this is the first mention anybody's hearing of this anywhere, but we are doing a Southern tour.
Yes.
Bulwark Southern tour, not a Sarah JVL Southern tour, although they're all basically Sarah and JVL Southern tours. So tickets are going to be available for pre-sale starting next Tuesday, August 18th, only for the Bulwark Plus members, though. So you guys will get first pick. These things are going to sell out fast because we've never gone down south. So come and do it. We're going to be in the Carolinas. We're going to be in Hotlanta. Very excited to be in Hotlanta. I haven't been to Atlanta in forever and a day.
And a lot of the Bulwark crew is coming. It's a big, big tour.
Big cavalcade of stars. So go to Bulwark.com. Go to thebulwark.com/events. It's easy to find. It's not that hard, right? But again, August 18th, pre-sale is only for Bulwark Plus members. So, if you really, really want to get the best seats for Atlanta or South Carolina or North Carolina, join and become a Bulwark Plus member first. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about other feelings at the end of the show because I am deep in my feelings.
I know, buddy.
With Flash gone.
I know.
He came home for his little brother's birthday.
That's great.
How great is that? Did I raise a good kid or what?
I know you did.
He surprised his little brother, who was very upset that he wasn't going to see his big bro, by showing. Anyway, we'll talk about all that. So we had a development in the Trump Kennedy Center saga yesterday.
Yeah.
And you will recall that Trump put his name on the Kennedy Center, then was told he had to take his name off the Kennedy Center. So they covered up the Kennedy Center so nobody could see the name on it. That was the level of pettiness. And the board, independently, nobody was telling them to do this. They've decided that they are going to get around the judge's order by putting his name up on the Kennedy Center by calling it the John F. Kennedy Memorial Center for the blah, 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 blah. Restored and renovated by President Donald J. Trump. And that will be on the, because that is a normal thing that people do with buildings. Anybody who renovates the bathroom in an existing building gets their name put on the building. It's a very normal thing. I can't believe this has happened. Can you, because this seems a level of petty, but maybe I should. Maybe this is like me just being stupid.
No, you're not being stupid.
The level of pettiness is insane.
I would say of all the things I can't believe that he took a separate plane because the threat to the first plane, he was like, okay, there's a threat to the first plane. So Marco Rubio and the rest of my team, you guys stay on that plane and all the press pool, you stay on that plane while I get into a catering cart with Pete Hegseth and we get on a different plane. Like that, I can't believe because it's so insane. The idea that Donald Trump is petty enough to tell his board, which by the way, they restacked that board. They like kicked all the other people off and they put a bunch of, you know, Rick Grenell and all these other people on when Trump came in for exactly this reason. The idea that they're petty enough to look for an alternative way to get Trump's name on this building seems entirely on brand.
I'm just going to read from the New York Times account of this. In a phone interview after the votes, Paolo Zampoli, a former modeling agent and a longtime Trump ally who sits on the board, said that the trustees are acting out of a desire to make the Kennedy Center more of a sought-after sightseeing destination. His goal for the inscription of Mr. Trump's name is to make it, quote, as big as it can get. Because if they put his name really big on the building, that will turn the Kennedy Center into a tourist attraction so that the people coming to Washington, D.C. will be drawn to the Kennedy Center so they can stand outside of it and look at Trump's name on it. Paolo Zampoli.
There's the funny thing about the Kennedy Center board is it did become sort of a like stereotype of Trump's friends. Like Rick Grenell is just the gay guy in Trump's orbit. So he became the steward of the Kennedy Center. So whatever, I guess this guy must be vaguely artistic. So sure, put him on the board.
What do you think a modeling agent is?
I don't know. Trafficker?
You said it, not me.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I'm trying to guess your brain.
I'm just saying, guess your dumb brain. That is where, if you are a Trump friend who's a modeling agent, what do you think your specialty is?
Yeah.
Procurement?
Sure. Hey, wait. Do you know what I want to tell you about the tourist thing? So did I text you about this? That in the airports, like Dulles and National, which I fly out of, and I can't remember if it was just when I was flying to London for vacation, but very recently I was in the airport. They sell Trump 2028 hats.
Well, I'm so glad you said that because the plan for this Kennedy Center renovation is to reopen it in the summer of 2028. Why do you think Donald Trump would want to reopen a gigantic Washington landmark with his name on it mere weeks before he leaves office? Because his plan is to try to not leave the office. Now, that plan may fail, but I'm telling you, this is where we're headed.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? The fact that your response is, yeah, maybe, tells you again, we're in uncharted territory.
No, I do think we're in uncharted territory. And just to be clear about my position, because I think you are right that there will be, my position has always been like, he'll try, but he can't. And
maybe.
And of course, though, ha ha ha. I mean, I'm just relying on the good old Constitution, but what do I know? What do I know about the Constitution? I'm just relying on the good old torts.
There were four votes to undo birthright citizenship. If you think there won't be four votes at least to let him run for a third term, you're crazy.
So you're saying democracy depends on Amy Coney Barrett doing the right thing.
And John Roberts.
And John Roberts, yeah. There's something about them selling it as merch that is like a cultural, it's desensitizing, or it's right. It's this way in which he does like, oh, it's just a little joke about subverting the Constitution that we market and sell and make the American people get comfortable with. I was alarmed when I saw that. It's one thing for Trump to get them made so we can personally hand them out, you know, as part of
troll.
A bit.
That's just trolling.
That's trolling. Yeah. This is like, they're marketing it as a thing people can buy and therefore buy into as an idea. Then this is, and his whole trick, Trump is always to start something as it being ironic and then turn it into something that's
hitting on the sly. Yeah. Okay. Big news. Carolyn Leavitt, the best, most successful press secretary in the history of press secretaries, excuse me, I have the hiccups, is leaving the White House at the end of the month And we have a bunch of names who have been floated to as possible replacements. Monica Crowley, Katie Miller, Jason Miller, Alina Haba, Anna Kelly, even Scott Jennings.
Yeah, the one that I saw was Scott Jennings, Carrie Lake, and who was the other one? Oh, Spencer Pratt was the other one. Because I tweeted, it was like, the New York Post said Carrie Lake, Scott Jennings, and Spencer Pratt are seen as possible contenders who could replace White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. And I said, that is a nightmare blunt rotation.
Again, not entirely sure what a blunt rotation is, but it sounds like a nightmare.
Oh, my God. JVL, even if you never smoked pot because you were worried it was going to go on your permanent record, you must have existed in a culture that understands a puff, puff, pass.
No.
Okay. All right.
I mean, this combines two things that are anathema to me, Sarah.
Socializing and weed?
Socializing and weed.
Yeah, right.
Pass! The hardest of all possible passes.
See, now you're getting it. Pass. It's what you do. You pass.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Okay. I tend to think he'll just pick somebody nobody's ever heard of. It will be like, it'll be a deputy.
It'll be like the computer, the printer, the human printer.
The human
printer
lady. That
woman who just writes him love notes.
No, it'll be.
She also got on the catering cart with him.
Yeah, well, Natalie, you can't. I mean, Marco could be sacrificed for the greater good. Not Natalie. She's
what's that
precious.
Meme? They expect one of us to be in the wreckage,
no brother.
Brother.
No, brother. They expect one of us in the wreckage.
I just picture little Marco. Is the fire rising?
Yes. Yes. It rises.
Scott Bessent was on that plane. Like, I am mesmerized a little bit by this story because it is. Tim and I were both on Nicole yesterday discussing this, and I was like, isn't it? You don't want to make light of a terror plot to assassinate an American president. But on the other hand, the idea that there was a decoy plane and a real plane, and on the decoy plane was Scott Bessent, Marco Rubio,
Stephen
Chung.
Was it a plane full of dummies, crash test dummies?
And the entire press pool, and you're like, oh, I guess that's a revealed preference, as they say.
Wild. This is a serious question. Would it have been a terrorist attack, or would it have just been part of the war?
Well, I guess that's a good point. An assassination. Right.
We are at war with
Iran. Sure. Okay, so
we initiated the war. We attempted to, and in fact did, kill their head of state. Wouldn't this just be an act of war? I mean, I don't think it would be terrorism.
No, you're making great points. I think that it would be an act of war and an assassination attempt on a head of state, yeah.
Yeah. It's good for the goose, I guess. I don't know. The whole thing is horrible, but it is funny to think of what would have happened with little Marco there. I can't believe he did this. Okay. So Carolyn, leave it. Now we're going to start talking about the bad stuff. I am very, very angry, like legit purple-faced rage angry, which is tough this early in the morning, because there is a piece out today about what the Department of Justice was doing in Minnesota after Alex Preti and Renee Good were executed by masked armed agents of the state on the street. What happened is that the Department of Justice did not investigate the men who murdered these American citizens in cold blood. They launched a huge dragnet of really pretty serious investigations of liberal activist groups instead. And this story is full-on East Germany, Stasi. You are living in an authoritarian state. And we're going to get to the details of it. It is enraging. On your 1 to 10, like, anger meter, where are you, just so I can level set as we head into this? Because I'm at Hulk smash.
I think you're right. I don't want to sound, I don't want to take away from your anger, because I read it first thing this morning, because you sent it to me. It was more, and this is the only point I'm going to make before we transition it, which is, I wonder if it's because we went there and we stood with the people outside of the Whipple building. And so we saw that the people that they are infiltrating in this thing, that they are accusing of, that they are trying to say are domestic terrorists and other things as a way to infiltrate their networks. And they told us proudly when we were there about their signal chats and how they have these groups. And to know that those were the things being infiltrated, I think takes the level of rage. I think we are not dispassionate observers the way we might be in other ones. I think that part of the reason that that story hits so hard is we're like, those were 65-year-old women standing in long underwear there to put blankets around kids that were being released without jackets into the snow by the ICE agents. And to know how important those signal chats were for like creating the doula network that was delivering babies and all of that being sort of an obvious community positive, to have that be the thing that the like J. Edgar Hoover, FBI, were totally abusing the office, I think just makes the rage. I'm worried that that's the case for us and that other people won't see it as bad as it is, and that maybe people in Minnesota will.
All right. Well, you know what? I'll take that as a personal challenge to take everybody who listens to this is rage and turn it to 11. We are going to do it on the other side, though. We paywall almost nothing at the Bulwark. We give away almost everything we do. This is one of the handful of things that gets hidden away for members. This and my outstanding newsletter, which has been doing dog shit numbers all week, even though I have been cooking.
Buddy, it is the third week of August.
I don't care.
Week of August. Just
that's an excuse. Losers make excuses.
Okay.
Winners,
you're right.
Do numbers.
I agree.
I feel
with
like
you.
Alec Baldwin and Glengarry Glen Ross. You know, I don't want a set of steak knives, Sarah.
And I understand that. But I just
I'm doing bangers.
I know.
I'm dropping bombs.
Good. And if you had written that on September 7th, I think it would have done much better than it is doing right now. Right now, it's just our ride or dies with us. I just want to say, though, for people who sometimes I see complaints about us dropping a paywall on this, and it frustrates people, right? Because they're with us and they're used to the content being free. The reason that we're able to hire Will Sommer and Catherine Rampell and invest in the growth, we have a specific goal at the Bulwark, which is to take the pro-democracy message and this pro-democracy community and grow it. And to do that, we need people to rock with us. We try to keep as much of it free as possible because you can't save democracy from behind a paywall, but you also can't continue to build without having a business model. So this is our business model, guys.
What I tell people is, how do you think the other stuff stays free?
Right. That's right.
You know, like, I'm sorry. Anyway, come ride with us. Become a Bulwark Plus member, subscribe to the YouTube premium channel or the Apple Podcast premium channel. Just get on the other side of the paywall and ride with us.